This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ communities, this is Well, 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 brought to you every week by Thorn Harbour Health.
Here on Well, 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 we delve into the issues impacting and surrounding the health and well-being of our gender, sex, and sexuality diverse communities. Coming to you from Joy's Victorian Pride Centre studios on Boonwurrung Country, I'm your host, Jack Ranjan, and joined this episode by Jacinta Hennicom. G'day, g'day.
Hey, Jack.
Jack and Jack.
We're back.
How you going? How you doing?
I'm good. I always love coming down to the studios here at Joy, so it's a pleasure to be here. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Looking forward, because this episode has been pre-recorded, given, like most of our episodes are, but ahead of the Rethink the Drink. Rethink the Drink, that's the name of the...
Rethink the Drink launch.
Campaign launch here at the Victorian Pride Centre. So that's happening this evening as well, or if you're listening live, it has happened.
It's just happened.
But we're staring down the barrel of it, so that's coming up a little bit later today. Also today, it's July 14th, it's International Non-Binary People's Day.
It is. It's an opportunity to celebrate those who are non-binary and the rich diversity of gender, and celebrate people who do not fit into a binary gender, which is a lot of people.
It is.
It is a lot of
people. More than you might expect.
It's also a chance for us to recognise the stigma and discrimination that non-binary people face and how we can address this together.
If you're not aware, in simple terms, a non-binary person is someone who doesn't identify as exclusively a man or a woman. Someone who is non-binary might feel like a mix of genders or like they have no gender at all. Many non-binary people prefer the pronouns they, them, but for instance, if people tell you their pronouns differ, it's important to respect them. Now, I work a lot with SAMESH and in South Australia, so, the health promotion programs look a little bit different, but I believe you work a lot with the peer workshops that Thorn Harbour offer to trans and gender diverse people.
Absolutely.
Talk me through a little bit about what we've got on offer.
Yeah, so we have monthly online workshops available on Zoom, and it's for trans and gender diverse people, and we've separated it into three different groups who meet monthly online. Mm. So we've got RISE, which is non-binary specific. So anyone who is trans or gender diverse and doesn't fit within the binary or beyond the binary, it's a space to come together and talk about different things that are relevant to you, to meet other people, and to just generally catch up and enjoy being in a space which is non-binary. Mm. So they come together at the start of each month on the first Thursday from 6 p.m. until about 7:30 p.m. on Zoom. And it's facilitated by non-binary peer facilitators who are volunteers at Thorn Harbour Health. And it's been a really fantastic space for people to, come with the big questions around gender or just come and chat about everyday life, really.
Lived experience, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. Being a non-binary person and, the not only the issues and the things that people face, but also the things to celebrate and to enjoy about gender and
sharing, I guess, support mechanisms as well, available for people in the space as well.
Yeah, lots of resource sharing, referrals to, safe healthcare or places to, hang out, be yourself.
Mm.
Lots of different things.
There's a few of them, like the Victorian Pride Centre.
There are. But if anyone wants to get involved in the RISE Peer Workshop or the other peer workshops that we run at Thorn Harbour Health, you can head to our website, thornharbour.org, and head to the Peer Workshops page, and there's a little button there to register. So you just pop in your contact details and we'll link you up with the group for you.
Very exciting. Coming up next, we have an interview with Varro, who is a non-binary person in Adelaide. They're the chair of the South Australian Rainbow Advocacy Alliance, or SARA. They'll speak a little bit to the projects that SARA have recently worked on and their experience as a non-binary person, including the process of changing their gender and legal name under South Australian law. That's coming up this episode on Well, Well, Well.
You're getting Well, Well, Well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
I'm Varro, my pronouns are they, them. I live on Kaurna land. I am a policy nerd, bureaucrat by day, and LGBT advocate by night. I'm the chair at the SA Rainbow Advocacy Alliance. We're a not-for-profit charity that works to advance, queer rights, wellbeing.
Walk me through some of the, in as much detail as you want, the work that Sara does for the community.
Yeah, so there's three sort of parts to Sara's work. The first one is advocacy, making sure that our lawmakers and our decision makers are making a better place for our communities. The second part is around community, around supporting community groups here in South Australia, creating a sense of togetherness and really a sense of activation in the community around working towards bettering our rights. And the third part is awareness. I think we find within our allies, there is still pretty limited awareness of the diversity of our communities. Working to bring awareness towards that and, improving our rights and wellbeing is a core part of our work.
What are some of the, let's say, focal points that have been in that sector for Sara recently?
Yeah, for sure. So we've recently had a state election, which has been a huge moment for advocacy. Leading up to that work, we partnered with Equality Australia to survey over 600 queer South Australians on what issues were important to them. They came back and there were kind of four key themes. Safety and equality under the law. So things like banning conversion practices and closing loopholes in our anti-discrimination laws. There was more inclusive healthcare, making our mainstream healthcare providers more inclusive of our communities. Education was a big one, so making sure that queer people are included in our education systems, particularly in relation to sexual health. And the last one was representation. We're still not collected in data sets in government. Government has no understanding of our communities and our needs. So really improving that representation at a strategic level was our third, fourth priority.
Putting the community's wants and needs on paper to government, how often does that happen? Where else, like what other, organisations or community groups in Adelaide have done that, if any, to your knowledge?
Yeah, look, it's something that Sara did on a smaller scale in the 2018 election. But I think, in terms of the representation, having the reach of 600 South Australians is pretty new, I think. I know a lot of social services organisations do this kind of work. But I think, in terms of having a unified statement from the queer community about our priorities is really important. And I think it's, something that we haven't seen.
In the last few months, we've seen Ida Hobbit come and go. I believe Sara had a sort of media project that came out around that. Do you want to speak a little bit to that project?
Yeah, so obviously discrimination against LGBTQ plus people has been happening for years and years. I guess we've come such a long way. You think back to the times of Dr. George Duncan's death. We're certainly not there, but I don't think we've made it all the way to full equality. So really, we wanted to launch the Rainbow Realities film as a representation of queer people's experiences of discrimination today. We know this stuff is still happening. We really wanted to use it as an opportunity to raise awareness about our experiences and to call on our allies to do better and to include us.
I guess in light of Non-Binary People's Day, that this recording will end up being played around. Can you speak a little bit to, if you're comfortable, your experience coming out as non-binary, navigating that space and potentially finding community as well?
Yeah, look, I think I've always known that I've been a bit different my whole life, but I guess I didn't really have the words for it until probably around, I think it was around 2015, someone I was dating actually came out as gender fluid. And I kind of went, oh, wow, that's an option. That's, no one told me about this thing, like that kind of fits, I think our society has always had these really rigid gender roles around, masculinity and femininity. What does it mean to be a man or a woman? And I don't think I've ever really fit in either of those camps. So being non-binary for me is about really giving myself the permission to explore that grey of masculinity, femininity. I guess it was important to have representation to be able to see other people like me gave me the sort of the power to come out and to realize who I was, but I guess that understanding within our society of being non-binary, being gender fluid is still evolving, I guess. I think back to my first job in government. I was actually working for the Department for Communities and Social Inclusion at the time, and they had their employee intake form. It had male, female, and other. And I was like, oh, well, I guess other is me, right? So I ticked the little box and, you know, expected someone to have a discussion about it. I got entered into the system as female and was misgendered from that point onwards, basically. So I spent, around 5 years in that job, being perceived as someone that I wasn't, which had a super profound impact on my mental health. Luckily, you know, I had really supportive partner and really supportive friends who helped me get help for that. But yeah, it was pretty rough at the time. So I think, you know, building that awareness and building that inclusivity is crucial.
Do you have any thoughts or feelings on the day generally? Had it even crossed your radar? Does it have any sort of significance to you?
Look, I think the day is, it's always important to recognise, you know, the diversity of our communities. I think the day, you know, to me, it's like a nice little, like, yes, I exist. And a lot of my friends will message me on Facebook and be like, hey, happy non-binary people's day. And I'm like, yeah, that's a nice moment. But in terms of tangible impact, I think, you know, we really need to, as a society, look at it and say, okay, well, it's not just about like, hey, have a great day. Like, what are we actually doing to help support non-binary people in our world?
Around non-binary people in Adelaide, I mean, you said earlier that the survey was responded to by 600 LGBTIQ South Australians. As far as non-binary people in Adelaide, is there much of a community? And I guess, let's just go with that. Is there much of a non-binary community in Adelaide?
Yeah, look, I definitely think it's growing, it's evolving. We've been really lucky to have a really inclusive trans and gender diverse community here. I think, you know, gender diverse people do fit under the trans umbrella. And, you know, to be frank, I think we've got a community that acknowledges that being trans is not just about transitioning from one thing to another. It's about this broad array of gender diversity that our community has. So, I think we're really lucky in that sense to sort of have this sense of community and, you know, we can support each other.
Can you speak a little bit to some of the challenges potentially in being gender diverse, changing name, any other sort of legality situation?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, being non-binary for me comes with an element of gender dysphoria. That's not true for all non-binary people, but certainly that's my experience. One of the things I've been trying to do is to change my name. Hearing my legal name said to me makes me feel so uncomfortable, just like something drops within my stomach. So I've been trying to go through the process of changing my name. And to do that in South Australia, you have to have 6 months of counselling. So I have to change your name and gender. So I've been seeing a psychologist and she was like, what's the reason for your visit? I said, oh, I'd really like to change my gender legally. And she said, okay, but like you have a gender and you've told me your gender. So how do I treat you for that? And I was like, great question. Who knows? It's been really interesting to see even healthcare professionals reacting to our laws and going, like, how does this work in practice? Is this actually right for non-binary and gender fluid people? So it's an evolving process. I'll let you know how I go.
How does that compare to, if you're aware, other states and territories around changing name, changing gender? If in South Australia you need 6 months of counselling to do that, is that on par with other parts of the country?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, but it is quite expensive as well. I think all up to change your name and gender, it's around $300. I actually had to buy my own birth certificate from Births, Deaths and Marriages to prove that I was who I was, even though I was buying it from the agency that I was asking to change it. So it's a pretty interesting little process that I think has, you know, plenty of opportunity to be more transparent and person-centred. There are heaps of community organisations in South Australia doing work on this, you know, inclusion in work. Shine in particular, their how-to training really is essential in helping services to be more inclusive. I think the uptake of that and, you know, the uptake of inclusion as a concept within organisations in South Australia is slow. And I say that in a the sense of meaningful inclusion. I think, you know, our community acknowledges that it's no longer acceptable to slap a rainbow on your brand. And say that you're inclusive, you actually need to do the work to make sure you've got options for people who are non-binary to identify their gender appropriately on your intake forms, to, you know, state our pronouns and to be referred to in the way that we want to. You know, I think, yeah, in terms of organisations practically doing that work and understanding the needs of our community, there's a long way to go, but we're certainly getting there.
You recently won an Out for Australia award.
Yeah, very excited.
You know, tell me about what that meant to you, I suppose.
Yeah, look, I think there's so many people in our community who do volunteer work. You know, in SARA, our organisation is largely run by volunteers. We have a one paid staff member, but the rest of the organisation is volunteer powered. I think, you know, recognising that contribution is really crucial. The Out for Australia award came as quite a surprise to me. You know, in my mind, my work is just about the back end of spreadsheets and policy and, you know, the unsexy parts of advocacy that often aren't celebrated. So to have that recognition was really, yeah, a nice moment. Yeah.
You're the chair of SARA now. How did you first join SARA and what was, the context and the backdrop for that happening?
Yeah, look, I've always had an advocacy streak. I guess, you know, have worked a lot in youth-run not-for-profits on all things from housing to anti-poverty movements. I guess I didn't really apply my advocacy work to queerness until shortly after the marriage equality campaign. Obviously, we had, you know, a nationwide vote on our rights to marry. And personally, that was pretty brutal. I was outed to my grandparents without my consent and without my knowledge. And that kind of caused really, irreparable damage to my family relationships. And it was at that point that I did a lot of self-reflection and kind of went, you know what, like, things are still a bit shit for queer people. You know, yeah, we have marriage, great, but there's all these other issues that we still need to tackle as a society. And, you know, I think it was a real motivator for me to step up and do my part in that. Which is how I came to be at SARA.
What was that involvement? What did that look like, I suppose, when you first joined? Because you didn't join as chair, I imagine, at that point.
No. Look, initially, they were recruiting for general board members. I had a little bit of governance experience. I know a bit about policy, so I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring and offer that up. I quickly became known as sort of a jack of all trades, I think, and took on a treasurer role at some point, which, you know, probably rapidly expanded my love for Excel. Just kind of a do-it-all.
What did it look like to go from your position within the organisation shortly before you became chair and then moving into the position of chair? What were you potentially keen to see happen from within and looking out from the organisation?
Yeah, look, I think SARA has always been an organisation that has involved community. You know, we hold the annual Ian Purcell oration to commemorate our founder, Ian Purcell. We hold a lot of community events, but I think for me, stepping into the chair role, there was a real opportunity for us to build community in a more impactful way, really to mobilise community to look at our rights and look at where we're at and take things quite seriously and say, what can we do to, you know, actually encourage governments to listen to us? Wow. So we're definitely moving a lot more into the space of, you know, community-run campaigns, running petitions, really that awareness-raising work in a way that I think we hadn't done as formally in the past.
Varro, Chair of SARA, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much.
You're getting well, well, well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
Thanks again to our wonderful guests for joining us in light of International Non-Binary People's Day. That's about it for this episode of Well, Well, Well. If you want to listen to tonight's show again, it'll be on the podcast page, joy.org.au/wellwellwell, where you can listen to our previous episodes and find links to information that we've discussed on the show tonight, including
the South Australian Rainbow Advocacy Alliance.
Yes, that's right. Don't forget, if there's a topic you'd like us to cover, get in touch. You can email wellwellwell@joy.org.au and with any questions or suggestions for topics. But yeah, that's about it. Thanks for joining me in the studio, Jacinta.
Thanks for joining me, Jack. It's been a pleasure.
We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 your show for LGBTIQ health and well-being, presented by Joy sponsor Thorn Harbour Health. For more on these topics and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.